Live from the National Studios in Broadcasting House here in Accra, I am George Asikri with this edition of Behind the News, where we bring you latest update and detailed analysis of current happenings in Ghana and beyond. Tonight, Ministry of Food and Agriculture secures financial clearance to employ 640 veterinary officers effective January next year. What will this add to the agricultural sector? We find out. And Zambian President Edgar Lungu warns Supreme Court justices not to stop him from running for a third term in 2021, else the country will be chaotic. Details of all these for the next 1 hour. You can join the discussion via our text line 0266-026-941. Behind the News is live on all our FM stations across the country, and we are also live across the globe on www.gbcghana.com to our very first story. From January 2018, the Ministry of Food and Agriculture will employ 40 veterinary doctors and 600 veterinary technical officers. This follows an exception granted the government by the IMF to boost animal husbandry. This is to alleviate the acute shortage of personnel in the veterinary sector and help check the misuse of antibiotics in livestock production, among others. Tonight on Behind the News, we examine this development and find out how this will impact in the agricultural sector, which is already having so many projects underway. We have been joined on the line by Minister of State in charge of Food and Agriculture, Dr. Nora Gbuyele. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
And thanks for your time, Doc.
Thank you.
Doc, we know there is a freeze on employment because of the IMF extended credit facility, except for education and health. So what did the trick for the agri sector?
Well, it's not a trick. It's simply the determination of our president, Nana Adejankwa Akufo-Addo. He has declared so many times agriculture is the top priority for the country at the moment. And if he declares agriculture as top priority and they are constrained, these constraints have to be removed. So the president has put in all the effort to be able to really make agri move forward.
So with the employment of veterinary officers, what exactly will they be doing?
Well, if you say you are exempting people, the health sector and the education sector, health is directly linked with the veterinary service.
Okay.
The veterinary health service, most of the diseases we get also come from the animals. So if you are busy taking personnel to treat the human beings, and you don't look at the ones who are treating the animals, then it's the non-factor. And so the recruitment of veterinary officers will help set the health situation in the country. We have just about 40 veterinary doctors for the whole country, 216 districts. So many districts will even have a veterinary officer.
That's quite, but 40 already in the country, and then we're looking for 40 again. That will bring the number to 18 and 216 districts. That certainly will still not be enough.
Yes, certainly. And that is why we are saying that those who have gone on retirement, we require all of the contracts to continue to work as the situation is. And when we don't have enough doctors, then we have the paramedics, that is, the veterinary and clinical officers, and then the animal health officers who are the long-term and veterinary college. At least to see those districts who don't have the veterinary doctors.
Doc, apart from what the animals do for us in terms of consumption and money for our pocket, are there implications for human beings if our animals are sick? Hello, Doc, your line is breaking. If you can reposition yourself for us. We've lost Dr. Gbiele on the line. He's the Minister of State in charge of Food and Agriculture. We shall try and re-establish contact with him. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana.
I am Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante. I have paid my TV license fees, and I want you, as a good citizen of this country, also to pay your TV license fee. The reason why I want you to do this is the TV license fee will enable the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation to deliver on their mandate by educating us, giving us the news that we need, providing the programs that we all yearn for. Do not be a bad citizen of the country watching programs and not paying for the programs. You must understand that paying for these things doesn't mean that you are only watching GTV. The laws of the land mandates the GTV to collect these fees so that the GTV, the Nation's Broadcasting Corporation, will be able to be the kind of broadcasting corporation you want it to be. Please, be a good citizen.
Welcome back. We have Dr. Gbiele back on the line. Sorry we lost you. I was asking whether there's any correlation between animal health and human health.
And I said yes. Most of the diseases that the human beings contract are from animals. If you live with animals that have any disease, most of them are directly transmissible to man. And that is why it is very critical to control the animal diseases, if you want to minimize the effect on the humans. If you eat anthrax-infected meat, you are going to die of anthrax within about 3 days, and you are dead. Worms, you eat meat that is infected by worms, you will also get the worms. And so many other diseases. They are common to both men and women. Man and animal.
The Planting for Food and Jobs program under the ministry is already underway, and most of those who are engaged in this may be going into animal production as well. And so with the number, how are you going to do the distribution?
The 600 veterinary officers.
Yes.
Well, 600 veterinary officers, if you take it, at least every district can get 3 or 4 veterinary technical officers. And that should serve for the meantime, while we hope, that is for 2017, and then for 2018, we may get a clearance from Ministry of Finance to recruit more.
Doc, so the husbandry sector, how is it faring?
Well, it's faring okay, just that we're not getting the numbers we desire. And that is why we, under the current program, we want from next year to supply farmers with breeding stock, improve breeds all across the country, so that we take off once more, take off again, so that the rearing of animals increases.
This will again lead to one other problem for the farmers. Whilst those of us who will be buying will be excited, chances are that the prices will be lower because supply will be more than or equal to demand. So are there plans in place to ensure that when we get these increased numbers, there will be fairness in terms of pricing for the producer?
Sure. We have always done that. We are private market-led. And as we did for the Planting for Food and Jobs, you see that all the food that we are going to produce, the buffer stock company, we've recruited so many licensed buying companies that are going to buy all the food. and supply them direct to a public institution, like the school feeding program, like the free HSS system, and other public institutions. So we've made adequate arrangement for the marketing, and that will be the same for the livestock once we start.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Doc, for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful.
You are welcome. Thank you, too.
Dr. Nora Gbiele is the Minister of State in charge of food and agriculture. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana and all our FM stations across the country, as well as www.gbcghana.com. Also on the line is the Director of Veterinary Service, Dr. Basiru Kikimutu. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening. But sorry, let me correct you. I'm not Director of Veterinary Services. I'm Head of Public Health.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for that. Doc, public service, I mean, your sector is giving some boost with the plans to recruit more people, 40 veterinary doctors and 600 technical officers. What will that add to the sector?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think this is the greatest news that every veterinary doctor or veterinary technical officer will be very, very happy to hear. I have always said that the new minister has really given us the hope that Ghana will work again. And that is because the veterinary profession has suffered for a very long time. It's one of the oldest professions in Ghana. Veterinary services started in Ghana since 1904 and has been relegated due to so many, many problems. So we are very happy that this news has come.
But
let me tell you that it is good to help in the sense that currently we have just about 37 veterinary doctors in active service. And the technical staff are also short. So this will now come and boost up the system. Why, as the minister said, they are making ways to improve the recruitment of the others in 2018.
Well, for those who might not be aware, when we say veterinary service, what is it? What do they do?
Yeah, you know, veterinary service is just the name of those that contribute their quota in the control of both animal and human diseases, in short.
Oh, okay, so they are kind of animal health service.
A medical doctor treats human beings, but veterinary doctor treats humanity. And humanity is the human being, the animal, and the environment.
And so looking at that, it presupposes that we still do not and will not even have enough if we get the 640. What plans are in place to augment these numbers for maybe temporal workers or voluntary service?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as the minister said, there has been some plan in place to make sure the veterinary surgeons in particular are brought back to help to strengthen the system, because even when you employ a new vet, he needs the experience of the older ones before even he can make a headway. And for our profession, if we don't work under a senior veterinary surgeon for at least 5 years, no matter whatever knowledge you have, when you apply for anything, they need that kind of recommendation by the council, by any other organization, before you can even work over there. So we feel that the government has been doing its best trying to retain the critical public health and other specialties that will make sure that they galvanize the system and ensure that, as the minister said, most of these general diseases, or we call them zoonotic diseases that are common to man and animals, are limited. Because as he has already mentioned, currently, as you know, in the world, we have over 4,198 diseases that kill a human being. But out of that, about 3,558 are from the animal. So ask the minister rightly said, if you don't control the animal diseases, and you say that you are fighting the human diseases, you are actually not making an impact as far as human capital or human productivity or human health is concerned.
Doc, apart from shortage of personnel, are there other challenges, major ones at that, that the veterinary service is facing?
Yeah, there are lots of challenges. But as you know, we will not try to lament on them now because so far as this minister who has spoken, he's somebody who has been in that particular ministry before. He knows exactly our problems, and he is ready to support us to make sure that all the problems that we have, which are put down on paper, we will try and see how best we can help to solve the problems so that Ghana will work again.
Whilst Ghana should be working again, the president talks of the Ghanaian identity. And when you go to any of the market where they sell fowls, you realize that what we used to call the local fowls, they are dwindling. We rather have what we call, quote-unquote, poultry ones. And the worst of it is that chicken, you go to the malls, you go to the cold stores, and one can even say 90% are imported. What is happening to ours?
Yeah, you've asked a very critical question, and that is what we've all been trying to see what we can do to help. And that the minister has actually hit the nail on the head by telling you that the planting for food and jobs, it has so many stages. I think one is to make sure that even when they produce the particular crops which are identified by this government as part of what should help the poultry industry, the livestock industry, then it reduces the cost of production of those particular species that you are mentioning. That will improve the meat supply and egg supply to the citizens of Ghana. So the right thing is to make sure the cereals, those ingredients or components that are needed to really bring about poultry and livestock development is tackled. And that is why the minister already said their team is going to graduate on that level to make sure they improve and solve what this problem that you have just mentioned.
Well, still on the people we want to employ, I mean, Ghana, what will be, in terms of the job differences, veterinary doctors and veterinary technical officers, do they do different things?
No. They can never do the same thing. That is why one is a doctor and one is a nurse.
Oh, okay. So the technical officers are kind of nurses.
Yeah, they are veterinary nurses, yeah.
So how far is your campaign stamped and displayed before it is sold to consumers?
The whole of the country currently, we have about 332 slaughter facilities in Ghana. That makes sure that we have the paravets and the doctors inside there to make sure that the meat that comes out is zoonotic-free, it doesn't have diseases, it's of quality and wholesome for human consumption. So we've been trying to make sure that all the critical areas that are to help human beings to have good health, we have put some few people there to safeguard that area. That is the borders, the airport, the harbor, you know, the quarantine stations, the meat inspection facilities, slaughterhouses, you know, those critical areas. We make sure we safeguard those areas just for the sake of what the minister said, to prevent these diseases from making a spillover into the human population.
Well, so, Doc, you just had your 43rd annual general meeting at Doma Hinkru in the Bonaf region. What were some of the issues that came out?
Actually, the Brown Hafu, today is the closing day, but the team is on antimicrobial resistance in the livestock and poultry industry, the economic importance and public health importance. So yesterday, I made, as the main speaker on the team, I made a presentation on the misuse and misapplication of antibiotics in the livestock and poultry industry, its effect on the human health, and then the economic importance on the GDP from 0.4 to 1.6. of GDP is lost due to antimicrobial resistance globally. So also about 10 million people will die in the world globally by the year 2050 and 4 million will be from Africa. So I have to let people understand that if we don't fight this antimicrobial resistance head on, truly, truly, most of us, even though we those who are in our 50s, we don't know what will happen, but we feel that by the year 2050, 40 million Africans are also going to die. And we have to let everybody understand that the veterinary drug residues in milk, in eggs, in meat, are all part of creating a resistance in human beings. They say that when you are sick and you go to hospital, because the same drugs which are used in the hospital in human beings, only they are applied for the human beings, you can have some doses that are lethal to you. And secondly, diseases that we could use 1 week to treat. Now in the hospitals, you can use 1 month treating the same disease because of resistance. Yesterday, I have to explain all these things to the participants to understand the importance of antimicrobial use in Ghana.
But that looks quite, sounds scary, because we do not have enough of the professionals on the field to apply these antibiotics when it comes to the animals. And so the trial and error is the ideal one out there. So are we heading for a disaster?
The disaster is looming, and that is why the WHO, OIE, and FAO are putting their wheels together. And last year, 21st of September 2016, the United Nations General Assembly, the UNGA, adopted a resolution A/RES/73/71/3, and taking a political decision, paragraph 15, to make sure that every state takes the necessary measures to make sure antimicrobial resistance is tackled head on to prevent disaster in the future.
So, the farmer listening to you in his village or her village, there's no veterinary officer closer to him or her. How will he or what should she do when his or her animals are infected?
Yeah, the ideal thing is that we need to take the first goal or the first objective of the National Action Plan of Antimicrobial Resistance for Ghana. Make sure that awareness creation, like what you are doing now, touches the whole, at every corner of Ghana, for people to be aware of the need. No matter how serious your situation, to look for a vet, to make sure that the proper application of the antibiotics and other things that you use to treat your animal is taken care of, so that we don't be applying the medicine by heart, like what the started to use this word. The Fulani people have been doing. Other poultry farmers just go and buy medicine, come and start medicating their pets wrongly. So this was what we brought up yesterday. And I was even very happy that the Brown Hafu region people, the Doma people, were telling me that the English was too big, but my she was not good much. So I had to try small. And then I think they are also getting the import of what we are seeing. So we would like you to give us more opportunity in future so far as antimicrobial resistance and antimicrobial use, because AMU, for people to understand the danger in which we find ourselves, that people in Kolobo now, when people are treating them because of resistance to bacteria, diseases which could use 2 days, now the doctors are treating you and it is taking up to 1 month and you're not getting better. It's becoming a worry.
All right. Doc, we want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. We surely will come back to you so that you educate us on some of these things. We are very grateful.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Bashiru Kikimoto is the head of Public Health Ghana Veterinary Service. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. We also have on the line the president of the Ghana National Association of Cattle Farmers, Imam Hanafi Sunday. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening to all listeners and to all Ghanaians. Thank you very much for having me.
Imam, how do you deal with diseases that attack the animals that you rear?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I just had my big man there, Dr. Ikimoto. Thank you very much for a very wonderful presentation. I think the cattle farmers always depend on the veterinary services in terms of having a problem of diseases. Some time ago, when I was young, we found out that the veterinary service department was very close to the livestock sector. But today, we have gone to a level where we find out that there are areas where, as you stated earlier, when you have a problem, there is no, sometimes, a veterinary man to attend to you where you are, number one. And number two, some of our members as well also have become their own doctors of their own, who buy, as he said, other maybe vaccines from wrong areas and then administer them themselves. So I think there are a lot of challenges, but we still depend on the veterinary service, but I think some of us also does what we think is not right. But I know that there are some reasons behind that which must be addressed well.
Government intends employing doctors for the service. Yes, the numbers will not still be enough. But how, as a practitioner, what will you say should be the mode of distribution?
Yeah, what I will say is that, you know, sometimes when people are used to something, like some of our people, some of these, our herdsmen, some of them are used to administering this medicine by themselves and everything. Now, the issue of having veterinary doctors, I think it's very, very good that we, in the various districts, we have them enough so that they can quickly attend to our needs in terms when our cattle or our livestock are ill. And at the same time as well, I think there are some problems also that we need to address. Because sometimes if we implement laws and then those laws are not enforced, you find out that people go and do what they like. For instance, if you go around markets, you go to Ashaman, you go to Akati, Techiman, and other buffet markets, that is the cattle market, you find out that we get some people who have used themselves as businessmen who go to other even countries, Togo, Burkina Faso, and buy these animal drugs. They come down, put them in the sun, start selling, and then the owner of the cattle will just come there, buy it, buy nettle by himself, go and administer. So I think if all these practices are going on, it will be very, very difficult to be able to control what we call the system we are talking about, so that we'll be able to know that what we are administering is the right medicine, and then the medicine is also being administered by the right person who is also a profession. A professional. So for that reason, I think it is good that we bring more doctors in the system, like veterinary service doctors in the system. But at the same time, we need to make some laws that will resist those people who do those businesses, so that they will know that if you want to vaccinate your animal, then you just have to vaccinate your animal through the official veterinary officer in the district. So with that, I think if that is done, those laws are passed and then enforced, then they stop all those people from selling medicines on the street and other things, then it will be more easier. But if not, no matter what we do, if we did not stop those people, then we continue having the problems we are talking about, because some people believe that they know what they can do with their animals by themselves, and it has continued happening and happening.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you very much.
Imam Hanafi Sunday is the president of the Ghana National Association of Cattle Farmers. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Keep your messages coming on 0266-026-941. There are some other messages here. Raphael Kuma in Bole Bambo says, hi, George. The clearance given to the Ministry to Employ People is a step in the right direction. The government must be commended for its frantic effort in bringing the employment, in bridging the unemployment gap. Have a nice weekend. You too. George, in fact, I don't just understand some of our African leaders who never want to leave the stage when the ovation is loudest, till they are forced out of office. Monica Cons in Navrongo. Certainly, I'm sure you are talking about President Lungu. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana, and moving on to other stories. President Edgar Lungu of Zambia has cautioned justices of the Supreme Court not to attempt to stop him from running for another term in office. He told party supporters that any adventurous move by the judges to stop him from running for election in 2021 could plunge Zambia into chaos. Allies of his party, the Patriotic Front Party, have asked the Supreme Court to confirm that President Lungu is eligible to run for a third term in 2021, since his first term was to complete the tenure of his predecessor, Michael Sata. The court is due to consider the case on November 16. The Law Association of Zambia has asked the president to withdraw his comments because such could be dangerous. Meanwhile, President Lunga has served as defense minister, or he served as defense minister and under President Michael Sata, but was adopted as candidate of the Patriotic Front Party to contest by elections in January 2015 after President Michael Sata died in office in October 2014. His victory was to complete the remaining term of his predecessor. In August 2016, elections were held and Lungu won a five-year term. Behind the News examines the development in Zambia and the implications. But before I go onto the phone line, some brief development in Zambia. In 1964, when the country had independence, we had Kenneth Kaunda, who served as president from 1964 to 1991. In 1991, elections were held and Frederick Chiluba won that election, and he was in office till 2001. In 2002, there was another elections, and Levi Wanawasa won, and he served until he died in office in 2008. And when he died, Rupia Banda was elected to serve the remaining term of President Wanawasa. Unfortunately, Rupia Banda lost the election in 2011 to Michael Sata, who served in office till 2015 when he died. Now, when Michael Sata died, he was left with just 1 year to complete his tenure in office. And so the party chose Defense and Justice Minister Edgar Lungu to contest. He contested the elections and won, but he only served 1 year to complete that of Michael Sata. And so in 2016, there was election, which Edgar Lungu won a five-year term. And so elections are supposed to be held in 2021. And some people have gone to court challenging the legitimacy and legality or otherwise of Edgar Lungu to contest a third term. The court is yet to make a decision, but the president is warning justices not to be adventurous and not to emulate what is in Kenya. So what could be the implication of this? We have on the line Kweku Ajimai Badu Jr. He's an international political analyst. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, George, and good evening to your listeners too.
How justified is President Lungu's comment?
Well, I think it's unfortunate, George, in the first place, coming from the first gentleman of Zambia, a country like Zambia, who is supposed to uphold the constitution and the tenets of the constitution of Zambia. But for him to have come out a few days before a decision by the Supreme Court of Zambia to rule on a case on whether he's eligible to contest or not to contest, warning them not to be healed, and that he has information, people have spoken to him that they should be brave and strong and be like the heroes of Zambia. I think it's very unfortunate, it's uncalled for, coming from the president of the country to another branch of the government, which is the judiciary, whose main duty is to uphold the constitution of the country and ensure that rule of law is the thing. For a president to say that, I do not know how safe and secure the judges of Zambia would be. But as a student of law, I would believe that the judges of Zambia would be strong and firm in their decisions and in their position, because George would agree that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. In fact, I am surprised again that the president would go ahead of himself to make such statements, because the constitution clearly provides for 2 5-year terms, and he has served the term of President Saka, and he has served one term where he was duly elected by himself. But you see, the problem is that there's a presidential by-election. Now, the decision of the court is whether that presidential by-election would constitute a full term. Again, the wording of the Constitution is for the president to serve a 5-year term. So it is possible that the case may go his way, where he will be declared eligible to contest.
But
the situation is what happened in this country when, may his soul rest in peace, our former president died, and then President Mahama had to come and continue before. I think he should have waited for the case on November 16th, which is just about 2 weeks ago. I mean, 2 weeks to come.
But is it not better to adopt the prevention is better than cure mentality, since you do not know what the Supreme Court will do? And the president referred them to Kenya. They shouldn't bring Kenya there.
George, in a democracy, you need to have a judicial system that is very strong. You need to have freedom of speech. Judicial system that can stand strong in the face of all characters and defend the constitution, the rule of law. Now, the judiciary is not just another institution. It's actually a part of the government. You know, the three arms of government: the judiciary, the executive, the legislature. This is just one part. Now, for you to warn, you are kind of intimidating the judiciary, that should they go against what you wish for, there would be chaos. That should not be coming from the president. And in fact, I like the statement by the Law Association of Zambia calling on the president to withdraw his statement. Indeed, Mr. Lungu was in 2010 suspended by the Law Association of Zambia for unprofessional conduct. He has had a run-in with the law, but I was thinking that he has matured now, ascending the throne of the presidency, he would leave above certain statements, which is so uncalled for a gentleman leading a country like Zambia. George, you know, I'm sure the framers of the Zambian constitution went to such great efforts to create an independent judicial branch that would not be subject to retaliation by either the executive or any other branch of their government.
But you know, look, the history of the Supreme Court and its decision in Zambia. For instance, in 2001, when President Frederick Chiluba attempted to extend his tenure in office, the court ruled against that. Again, Wanawasa was an opposition leader. He won election, and the ruling MD went to court. The court upheld the election of the opposition leader. And so, looking at the decision, the actions of the court in the past, is it not, you know, fearful that they could, quote unquote, be adventurous, like the president is saying, and that could lead the country into chaos?
Now, the duty of the court is to uphold the constitution. The duty of the court may be to interpret what the constitution says per term limit of a president. And I do not think the court would by any means want to plunge Zambia into chaos. It is such statement, such action of leaders and political people in a country like Zambia that may lead the country into chaos. I am sure the benefit of what will come to the people of Zambia is not to just the judges. If there is peace, the judges will be able to sit in their courts to rule and will do their work properly. They would want to uphold what the constitution says. And I think the statement by the President Lungu to the judiciary is highly intimidating, and it's just preempting the decision of the court, which is not right. Now, I'm backing the judges and I'm backing the courts of Zambia to uphold the constitution, to stand firm. If indeed President Lungu is eligible to run for a second term, he should be made to run. But George, in the face of his statement, should the court rule in his favor, could the opposition not interpret that to mean that they have called to the threat of the president? Now, should they rule against the president, could it not be that, like I said, they are just being adventurous, they are just being brave, like what happened in Kenya? The president's statements are uncalled for, and I think he should withdraw that statement and allow the judiciary to do its work.
But will that statement in any way influence other leaders on the continent who might be afraid of their Supreme Court because of what is happening? We've seen some in Kenya, we've seen some in Liberia, and we don't know what Zambia is going to come out with.
What do you have in your closet to be afraid of the decision of the court if what you're doing is right? Like I said, the court's duty is to uphold the Constitution. If you're doing your things right as a president, as any ordinary person living in any country, you would rather support the judiciary to come out right, because you know at any point in time, your rights will be protected and defended by the rule of law and the court system. Unless the president has a different agenda, or unless any other individual has a different agenda, I do not think the decisions in Kenya would have an influence in the decision in Zambia. Mind you, judges treat cases on their own merit, even though they may be judicial precedents. But there's no way they could relate to the decisions in Kenya. In fact, Kenya's decision is that of an election that has gone wrong. Yours is that of the eligibility or otherwise to run for the presidency. And whatever happened in Kenya in Ghana was also different. The court, for me, I believe we should allow them to do their work. We should empower them. We should make institutions work in Africa. And any court system, if it believes its decision is right, and that's the Kenyan's example, would be a good one. I would back that court to follow what Kenya did to make right what is wrong in Africa. That Africa will also rise above. And the continent, and the world's continent, think that will be an example for other people to see that rule of law really works, and that in the face of intimidation, the face of political threats and authority, justice and delivery of justice is just not to be done, or must not seem to be done. It has to really be done. And that, for me, is what I will always back any court or any judicial system to do in any country, in any day.
Do you think the sub-regional groupings should come in?
I do not think it's too early, George, for the sub-regional group to come in. Indeed, Zambia is a sovereign state. President Lungu was elected by the people of Zambia through a proper election. And you cannot, say the articles of the United Nations, you cannot just enter another country and then start acting unless you're invited, or unless the act is committed is an Egaomes Act, which will not necessarily affect just Zambia, but other people, even if it will affect the people of Zambia. The consequences may be great. It's too early for the sub-regional body to enter. I'm sure Zambia as a country can handle some of these issues. But when it's getting out of hand, maybe the sub-region may have to come.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir.
You're welcome, John.
Kweku Ajimai Mbedu Jr. is an international political analyst. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is Ben Arthur. He's a conflict and security expert. Good evening, Mr. Arthur, and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, George, and good evening to all our cherished listeners.
What is your
who are listening to us as well?
What's your assessment opinion on what President Lungu has said?
Well, I think probably the media reportage and the way the Zambian opposition is viewing this matter gives us a false impression that it is as if it is likened to probably what had happened in Rwanda and what had also happened in Uganda. You know, the Rwandan president and in Uganda were able to remove constitutional term limits without difficulty, all because they had a solid grip of control on the ruling party and the security forces. But in Zambia, the situation is slightly different. And if you permit me, we need to put this discussion in context. They used to have a 1996 constitution, which had been amended by an act of parliament just this 2016. So as we speak, the Zambians have a constitution, a 2016 constitution, that has some provisions in it, which has some, to me, in my opinion, has some kind of ambiguity, which is bringing all these impressions as to whether Edgar Lungu has served a fair term and that the takeover from Michael Sata. If you remember very well, the sitting president, Michael Sata, died in 2014. So in January 2015, there was a presidential by-election, which Edgar Lungu won. And then in 2016, August, there was another general election, which he won again. And according to the new Zambian constitution, you have a five-year term. So the argument here is that the term that he served, the one-year term, which he had won an election, the by-election, does it constitute a full term or not? There are other persons who, as per the constitution, and if you have the time, I have the constitution in front of me, I can quote the relevant article for,
right,
for purposes of, you know, clarity. Article 106, clause 1 of the Zambian 2016 constitution says that the term of office for president is 5 years, which shall run concurrently with the term of parliament, blah, 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 blah. And then let's go to clause 5A. It says that when a vacancy occurs in the office of a president, except under Article 81, the vice president shall immediately assume the office of president, or if the vice president is unable for a reason to assume the office, then the speaker will assume, blah, blah, blah. Then I come to clause 6. If the vice president assumes the office of president in accordance with clause 5A, or a person is elected to the office of the president as a result of an election held in accordance with clause 5B, then the vice president or the president-elect shall serve for the unexpired term of the office and be deemed for purposes of clause 3, which is the area of controversy, that A, if the president has served, the one who has been elected has served a full term, you know, which is more than 3 years of the unexpired term of the previous president, then it is deemed as a full term, okay, that has been served. And then if not to have served a term of office as president, that is if the this one is my own interpretation, that yes, I'm trying to paraphrase this aspect, that if the unexpired term is less than 3 years, then it is not assumed as having served a full term. Where the ambiguity comes in is that a president is deemed to be a president when he is elected. And the same constitution says that no president shall win or shall become president after being elected twice. So there's a section of the Zambian population that believes that the by-election, the January 2015 by-election, is deemed to be an election. And whether the term was 1 year or 5 months or whatever, it is a fair term. And then the August 2015 one will expire in 2021. So when it expires in 2021, then that is the second term of President Lungu. So that is where the controversy comes in. But I believe that if this matter is taken to their Supreme Court, it will be very, very clear. And I do not foresee the Zambian president losing the case. After all, he has just in 2016 appointed the Constitutional Court. There is no how, you know, things work on the African continent. So we need to put all these things in perspective, that it is not as if the individual has served first 5 year term and he has served a second 5 year term and then he's looking for a third 5 year term. So that is the whole issue. And I believe that, you know, we ought to give ourselves the clarity of the matter.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you. I'm grateful for having me as well.
Ben Arthur is a conflict and security expert. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is a private legal practitioner, Kofi Boni. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, George. How are you? Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for joining us too.
Yeah.
President Edgar Lungu of Zambia, is, let me just quote portions of his speech that he delivered at the northwestern part of Zambia. He says, "Don't become a copycat and think that you are a hero if you plunge this country into chaos." It will plunge this country into chaos, I beg your pardon. Then he went ahead to say, "I want to close by saying that those people who don't think peace and freedom will say President Lungu is intimidating the courts of law. I am not intimidating the judiciary. I am just warning you because I have information that some of you want to be adventurous. Your adventure should not plunge us into chaos, please." Unquote. That is President Edgar Lungu.
Yes, and I think that is outrageous. It's completely unpresidential, and it's a threat to the judiciary. No one expected a president to have made that statement. I don't think he's behaving in the interest of, you know, Zambia. In any case, you may have the law, you may have the understanding of the law. You may think that this is the true position of the law. But we often say that the law is in the bosom of the judge. I mean, the point is, we are talking about the independence of the judiciary. And you are the president. You are warning them to take a particular position, okay, or not to take a particular position. That is very bad. You know, why do you say that it will lead to chaos? Because you are no longer going to contest as president. I do not think that's the issue. I think it's bad. I need to withdraw those words. From the account of my previous two speakers, I think it's very clear that the independence of the Zambian judiciary when it comes to the presidency or constitutional interpretations, I think they've done very well. They've asserted themselves, all right? And I tend to agree that if there is a by-election, you know, given the number of years that one had to serve, it should not, you know, be necessarily considered as a full term. I mean, if a full term is 5 years, and 5 years times two, and you cannot go beyond that, fine. And somebody has said just in 1 or 2 years, plus another 5, he still has the opportunity. But, you see, if you go and tell the judiciary, you tell them that, look, if people are coming there, don't take a decision that be detrimental to me. A decision that's detrimental to me is also detrimental to the nation and to lead to chaos. I do not think that it lay in his mouth, you know, to have said that. And he, as president, all right, should uphold the constitution. And I guess that is part of the oath that he had to take as president, okay? I am very much enthused about the growing, you know, interest of the judiciary to assert itself. Kenya did very well. In Ghana, well, the whole world watched it for about 8 years. And even if
8 months.
The decision was not very pleasant to people, they had to accept it. And the president today, who then was the contestant, he said that, well, I disagree, but I accept. And I think that is what, you know, Edgar Lungu should be doing, should be thinking, to be encouraging, you know, and empowering the judiciary. But if you go and tell them that what you are going to do, even he is even thinking, is imagining for them, I think that is extremely bad. I can see a situation where the Zambia Supreme Court will come out and so he served less than even half of the remaining years of, you know, Michael Sata. You know, so he's eligible to contest, you know, the 2021, you know, election, okay? You also will notice that recently, was it our own ex-president, John Mahama, who said something about the Liberia elections?
Yeah.
And I think he said something like, it's worrying that the courts now are having to interfere with the will of the people. If the will of the people is not properly upheld, the courts have every right to assert the proper will of the people.
So what then happens in the country where a government has been in office for a very long time and by virtue of that has absolute control over the judiciary? Will the opposition ever come to power?
Well, but so far, I mean, those days where you had they called themselves messiahs and whatever, who thought they were the fathers of the new nations that were being born, Nkrumah's Ghana, Nyerere's Tanzania, you know, Kaunda, Zambia, and all of that, okay? You know, those days appear to have, you know, withered away. You know,
but Zimbabwe, Mugabe is there. Guinea-Bissau's Teodoro Obiang Nguesso is there.
You have
some of the judges being bold to take on positions that Mugabe will not accept, except that they didn't seem to have the real physical muscle to go and say that we are taking out, you know, Mugabe from office. But what had gone to the court in Mugabe, Zimbabwe, there had been occasions where the courts had asserted themselves, and I think that is commendable, given what that is happening, okay? So I think right now, what we are seeing, if Liberia, for example, you know, goes to the Supreme Court, they are before the Supreme Court, we don't know the ruling of the Supreme Court, okay, if that one comes up. But I'm saying that there's a growing trend where Africans are not using coup d'etats. They are going to their Supreme Court, they are going to their courts, you know, to contest elections, to assert democracy and the rule of law. And that's wonderful enough. And the court themselves might be advised and against taking positions that are anti, you know, patriotic, anti-national interest. Once they can see the national interest and accept, because you also have to look at the other side where people will say that because I've lost power and I feel that it was not properly, I didn't properly lose power, then I have to use all means, including military and other terrorist, you know, acts. So I think it's a new development. It's a positive one, and we need to strengthen the judiciary. We need to make them more assertive, more independent. They should know their rights. They know their powers and go in. When Kenyatta lost, you know, the Supreme Court, whatever, he also, you know, attacked the judiciary. You know, used certain things, and now I understand they are coming out with a new law. And I'm sure if the matter goes to the Supreme Court will say that that law will not be applicable today, and they can have a situation of declaring that law, you know, unconstitutional and improper. I think it's a wonderful development that we should know. I just didn't expect the Zambians, you know, I didn't expect them to go to court at this time, all right? I thought that we needed to look at the nation. The man should be there maybe 2019, you know, 20, by being that one, okay, to start thinking about that and going to court at this time. It's not very good, because what happens then is that you don't then concentrate on national issues, pushing the nation forward, and it's too divisive. But again, if the Zambian Bar Association, is the association of what, they had come out, you know, to say that, no, the president's comments are unconstitutional and they are in bad taste and should withdraw, I think that is as best it could, and we should also commend them for taking that bold, you know, decision.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you very much.
Kofi Boni is a private legal practitioner. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Some of your text messages. Emmanuel from Bososo says, George, Operation Cowleg will not be successful if the chiefs do not stop giving their land to the Fulani herdsmen whenever the operation is carried out to drive away Fulani herdsmen from the community. The chiefs bring them back to destroy poor farmers' crops. The chiefs should be blamed for the Fulani men in the communities. Dixon Hamilton De Graft in Wenchi says, I'm really enjoying the program, but George, I wish the time should be extended. God bless you. Amen. Odenke in Nkoko says, George, there is a need to move the Veterinary Service Department to the Health Ministry, because that is where they belong, technically. Good evening, George. The government has launched Planting for Food and Jobs, but there are not enough silos to store the food and agro-processing machines to process. Solo in Madina. I'm sure, Solo, if you are following, there's been something to that effect. One district, one warehouse. Jake Ennis, Aye in Kalio, says, the Agricultural Ministry is doing well in this current New Patriotic Party government, and President Akufo-Addo should be commended. AU Farouk in Tamale says, in fact, why won't Africa continue to be backward when our leaders are power drunk? And this one says, Behind the News is simply an excellent current affairs program. Monica Combs in Navrungo sent in that one. And Koyetam, that's how we end tonight's edition of Behind the News. My producers have been Set Eya Belland, Elom Tete, and John Akampale. George Kwaku was our sound engineer, and I'm George Asikri. Enjoy your weekend.